What's going on, everybody? Welcome to the For the Good podcast.
We're so glad you're here.
Our mission is to reach the next generation by encouraging you using God's word.
We cover topics like Christian dating. God does not want someone to come to him because of a person.
Finding your godly spouse. That's how God works in relationships.
Mm-hmm. Following God's will for your life.
We think that we should be omniscient with God. And staying close to God when the world tempts you. Or it can be worshiping the right God in the wrong way. Romans 8:28 says,
"And we know that in all things God works for the good of those who love him, who have been called according to his purpose."
This podcast is for God's good and to grow his kingdom.
Our prayer is that this ministry provides you with a healthy Christian community that you can be a part of.
Thank you guys for tuning in.
Hello and welcome back to another episode of the For the Good podcast.
Yeah, we back.
Wait, that felt so weird because it's been so long since we recorded.
Yeah, it's been a while.
It's been a couple weeks.
Yeah, it's been like 3 weeks.
Hopefully you guys enjoyed the wedding video that we posted last week.
Oh yeah, right. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Sorry we didn't get a podcast out. We've been really busy.
We have been very busy and, you know, we love this podcast, but sometimes doing other things is more important.
Yeah.
So
we got a lot going on right now.
Yeah. We had to go out of town, pregnancy, we're moving into a home. A lot of new stuff happening in business. Mm-hmm. There's just a lot going on. So update for everyone. Michelle and I now have a sponsorship with Waterloo.
I was like, what are you about to say?
I'm kidding. Maybe
no,
one
but we
day.
Still got to shout it out. Yeah. And by the way, to the couple that watches our videos drinking their Waterloos, yeah, that is amazing.
Specific
Asher told me about this.
Yeah.
Yes. Specific shout out for you guys. Hopefully you're watching this one. That is awesome.
Yeah. If y'all watch Waterloos during...
drink Waterloos.
If you drink Waterloos during the podcast, whether you listen to it or you watch it on YouTube or whatever, please just take an Instagram story
and
tag Michelle and I for the
good.
We
would love to see
and
that.
And we're going to reshare it because it's going to be a trend.
It is. We love them. We love Waterloo.
Yeah. So a couple of updates. Last time you've heard from Michelle and I am now on the carnivore diet.
Mm-hmm.
Michelle's getting fat. Wow, people are going to hate me for saying that. Dang it.
No, but he did choose a bad time to go on this diet because I am blowing up a little bit. And they said that it would be around like the 20-week mark, which I'm 18 weeks today, honey.
Yeah, okay. Please tell them. I didn't mean...
No. Okay, it's a joke.
Yeah.
So when I first became pregnant, I was fit.
Yeah.
Like, I had gone on an extreme cut right before we got married, and I was probably at my lowest body fat percentage that I've had.
Mm-hmm.
I felt really good. And after I found out I was pregnant, all of a sudden, I just wanted Asher to tell me that I was growing a belly.
Yeah.
But it's been very slow because I am smaller. And so every morning I wake up and I'm like, honey, do I look pregnant today? And so one day I was like, just tell me I look fat.
Yeah.
So it's just been a joke. And he says it, and it's not offensive to me whatsoever. I actually love hearing it. Today, I'm wearing a tight tank top, and I asked him if I look really pregnant today. And he said yes.
Yeah.
Well, you said bigger than last week.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
So that's what's going on. Coaching still there. Mm-hmm. Y'all are going to hear an ad later in the episode. So newsflash, just letting y'all know.
Mm-hmm.
Y'all are going to hear an ad because Michelle and I filmed one.
Yep.
And it's just going to be like 20 seconds of us saying like, hey, if you're interested in coaching. Okay, whatever. So yeah, coaching's still there. And also, I'm starting to go on Twitch and TikTok Live and live stream.
Uh-huh.
And I'm doing this really cool thing where I'm playing a game, a Fortnite game with a subscriber, a follower, and they share their testimony. It's a great way to share the gospel, and I'm having a lot of fun doing it. So if that interests you, the Twitch links will be down in the description below.
Yeah.
And come over, drop a follow. If you have Amazon Prime, drop a sub over on the Twitch, too. So those are all the updates.
Those are all the plugs We haven't gotten to the updates yet.
Oh, we have updates too?
I'm sure everyone is waiting for us to talk about the fact that we just found out that the baby's a girl.
Oh, right. yeah, sure. I mean, they already know.
Well, yeah, if you watch the live stream, it's up. Yeah. So go under the live tab on YouTube and you can see our live reaction to finding out. We were originally going to do it ourselves away from everybody and then tell everyone in a fun way. But we decided to find out with everybody else. And I cried a lot.
Yeah.
I still cry every time I watch that video.
Yeah.
I don't know. I feel more connected to her now knowing that it's a girl, and I don't know. It just made it like even more real. And I've dreamed of having a little girl my entire life. Mm-hmm. I literally moved to Texas with just like stuff in my apartment. I don't really have any like things outside of that. But I do have a whole shelf in our closet with little girl toys and things that I used to play with or wear or whatever it may be. So it was just really special. And two nights ago, I got to feel her move for the first time, which was crazy.
Yeah.
And then the night after that, no, the next morning.
Next morning.
Asher got to feel her.
Yeah.
And then last night you felt her again.
Yeah, it just feels like this.
Yeah, it feels like a kind of like a marble.
Yeah.
Just like rubbing up against the outside of my belly.
At least right now. I'm sure. I'm sure it'll change to, you know,
punching like and that. Kicking and
it's gonna be a lot
right
of
now
force.
Still really small. I think my app says she's about 8 inches from crown to heel.
Yeah,
but you also have to think she's curled in a ball.
Yeah,
so she's not actually that long right now, like
in
her position. But yeah,
so that's how mom's doing.
Yeah,
mom's great. Dad, I'll be honest, still barely feel connected to the baby because I don't see her or feel her ever. So and not saying this out of ungratefulness, but this is something that men don't talk about on the internet at all. Mm-hmm. And I could care less about anyone else's opinion. So, and I'm sure, actually, what I will say is I am 100% certain that all husbands feel the same way.
Yeah.
I literally, every single husband I have talked to about, like, did you really feel connected to the baby when he or she was inside of your wife's stomach? All of them say, no, you kind of just have to wait until they're born, honestly. And that's something that people don't talk about. So it really caught me off guard when Michelle's 3 months pregnant. And I'm like, I just feel like I don't even know if I'm having a kid because I can't do anything.
Mm-hmm.
And
I'm 4 months.
No, I know. I'm just saying.
I'm just saying
just in general.
Yeah.
And
Yeah,
so I guess the girl, us having a girl, I guess it kind of helped a little bit, but like, just to be honest, like I can't really, you know, it's just very difficult. So when I am feeling these things, I feel guilty about it because I'm like, I should be grateful, but it's like, well, gratefulness and you feeling connected to the baby, those are two opposite things.
Yeah.
You know, now if this little girl grows up to be 8 or 9 years old, and I have no relationship with my daughter. Okay, well, yeah, that's a problem.
Yeah.
But I haven't even met her.
Yeah.
I haven't felt her but one time.
Yeah.
And it felt like this. Who knows? It could have been Michelle having gas.
No,
she
it
has
was
a lot
her.
Of that.
No, it was her.
And
I felt it on the inside too.
Yeah.
Gas is more like towards the sides now because she's in the way.
Okay.
So.
Yeah. So, yeah, that's the update on that department. And I mean, all it's funny because I have like spoke out about that before, like on TikTok, and I think I did an Instagram video about it too. But it's always girls that comment back and like, oh, that's terrible, you should definitely have a connection. It's like, okay, you're literally a woman. Like, you have no idea what men feel in the stage of your wife being pregnant. Like, it's hard for men too, ladies, just to let you know.
Yeah,
like,
I mean,
I feel very bad that Michelle went through all that pain in the first 3 months and she wasn't feeling well. But I also don't want to discount that it's hard for men too.
Yeah.
Because we see our wife going through all this stuff.
Mm-hmm.
We don't have a connection with the baby.
Mm-hmm.
And we can do absolutely nothing about it.
Yeah.
There's nothing we can do.
Yeah.
Like, yeah, we can serve our wife. That's great. But when it comes to pain, can't do anything about it.
Mm-hmm.
So men are very in the dark, and it's very hard on us emotionally as well. Okay. That's all I wanted to say.
I mean, just to like also speak from my experience, because she is inside me right now. I also don't feel like that connected to her. Like, obviously I do because she's inside me, but like it really gets real now when I feel her. And then also like when we go to an ultrasound and like see her, because when you're pregnant, like in the early stages, you're like, is there even a baby in me? Like, I don't know what's going on in there. You can't see them. You can't like interact with them. You know, it's just like, and all you feel is sickness. You don't actually like feel them. So I started crying the other night when I felt her for the first time, because it was just like, dang, she's actually in there.
Yeah.
You know, like, but I'm not going to feel that connected until I give birth to her.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. Now, if I don't feel connected to our kid once I'm holding it, well, yeah, it's a problem.
Yeah, you but, will feel.
But that's connected. That's not going to, like, that's literally impossible.
Yeah.
We're literally holding our DNA in our hands. I'm sorry. We're going to feel connected to it.
Yeah.
You know? Okay, honey, what are we talking about today?
Today, we're going to talk about how to get to heaven and what the Bible and Jesus say about how we get there.
And Paul.
Yes. And Paul. Well, I said the Bible.
Yeah.
The Bible, the writer, the authors of certain books in the Bible, and also what was written about what Jesus said.
Yeah.
Because
Jesus, John, and Paul. That's who we're going to be tackling.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And before we like actually go into this, I think it would be good. Sometimes we usually do this, is like explaining why we are talking about certain topics.
Yeah.
And how it came up, but also like our experiences with it and what we've learned.
Mm-hmm.
Asher and I have both had conversations with people in our family, and outside of our family about how we get to heaven. And this is something that we realize a lot of people are actually really confused on.
Mm-hmm.
And what we hear a lot of times is, at least this is what I've heard, is, well, they're really involved with charity. They do a lot of good work for people. They're a good person overall. So they're going to get to heaven.
Mm-hmm.
And the conversation that I had with my family member was really frustrating, because the person that they were talking about was living in unrepented sin very openly. I'm not going to say what it was, because I don't want any controversial conversations to go on, but they were living in unrepented sin and they didn't believe in Jesus. And this person I was having conversation with literally looked me in the face and said that they were going to go to heaven. And I was like, they don't even believe in Jesus. They don't even know who he is. And it made me really upset, because it made me question what they were learning in their church or what they were taught growing up, and how many times this has been taught incorrectly.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like, we should always be following the word. We shouldn't be following what a certain denomination or a certain church is telling you on how to get there. You know, like, what does the living word say about how we get to heaven? So that's kind of a little background on why we want to talk about this, because I feel like it's not really talked about that much.
Mm-hmm.
And we're not sitting here saying that, oh, that person would never get to heaven, because we don't know what happens after we die.
Yeah.
Right.
I was just going to go on that point, speak a little bit on it. Like, Michelle and I, it would be weird for us to go down the line and say, oh, they do drugs, they're not going to heaven. Oh, he's gay, he's not going to heaven.
Yeah.
Oh, he goes to church, he's not going to heaven. That's really stupid for us to say. It's just stuff like that. Like, it would be weird for us to get on the line and say, oh, they're not going to heaven, because we're not the judge. We can't say that.
Right.
But what we will say is, we will go what the Bible teaches. And what the Bible teaches is, the only way to get to heaven is to obviously put your faith in Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
And the only way to get to hell is to live in unrepentant sin and basically rebel against God.
Deny him. Yeah.
Yeah. Now, this is what I will say. all of us that are watching this podcast and everyone in the world, we are going to hell.
Mm-hmm.
That's why it's such good news that Jesus came to the world.
Mm-hmm.
That's also something that not a lot of people understand.
Yeah.
And it's something that Paul harps on in Romans chapter 4. We are literally all going to hell,
mm-hmm.
period. However, that's what makes Jesus so substantial, because all of us need a Savior.
Mm-hmm.
And when the law was set in place, when the law was given to Moses, none of us could follow it.
Yeah.
And God realized that.
Yeah.
So he said, there needs to be another way for people to spend eternity with me.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. That's just what I wanted to say. It would be weird for Michelle and I to go down the line and say, oh, they're not going to heaven. They're not going to heaven
because
he's gay, or, you know, he smokes weed all the time.
Yeah.
That's weird.
Yeah.
That's not what we're trying to say.
Yeah.
You know, we're not the judge.
Yeah, exactly. And that's, the whole point of this is to explain what the correct belief is about going to heaven, basically.
Yeah.
How do you actually get there? Not, you're going to go to hell if you do this. You're going to go to hell if you do this. No, no, no. That's not what we're going to talk about.
Yeah.
We're going to talk about the belief that people have on heaven.
Yeah.
Because I think a lot of people, like I said, are confused
on
what the Bible actually says about how we get there.
Yeah.
A lot of people assume, and I've heard street pastors videos talk about this. They interview people and they're like, do you think you're going to go to heaven? And they're like, yeah. And then he goes, okay, well, why? And then they say, well, I'm a good person. I've never done anything bad. And I try my best to, you know, do right by people. And I don't think I'm that bad of a person. And he's like, well, you're missing the whole point.
Yeah.
It's not that what you're saying is bad. That's great that you're doing that. That's great that you're a great person. That's great that you're involved in certain things. And, you know, you're doing God's work here on earth, but you're missing the whole point on heaven and how you actually get there.
Yeah.
You know,
because could that person actually go to heaven by doing good? Sure.
We all have to give an account for what we do here on earth.
Yeah.
I mean, if you're doing great things, fantastic.
Yeah.
But if you stand before the Father one day and you say, I don't believe in you, but I want to come to heaven because I'm a good person. Well, that's not what the Bible says.
Yeah. Bible doesn't teach that.
No.
Yeah. So also another sign that Michelle and I don't like is when people hold up at, you know, like these gay parades or whatever, and the sign is repent or you're going to hell.
Yeah.
Nah, fam, they're going to hell anyway, and so are you.
Yeah.
That's what makes Jesus so substantial.
Scaring people into heaven
doesn't make them put faith in Jesus.
Yeah.
And that's another topic we're going to cover, is having true faith in Jesus in this episode.
Yeah.
So I'll start off. So this is Acts chapter 4, starting at verse 11. It says, Jesus is the stone you builders rejected, which has become the cornerstone. Salvation is found in no one else, for there is no other name under heaven given to mankind by which we must be saved. One thing I want to say real quick, because in Romans chapter 10, it says, believe in the Lord with all, or confess Jesus as your Lord and Savior, and you will be saved.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of people don't
Romans 10:9.
Yeah. A lot of people don't understand what being saved means.
Yeah.
Saved means you're saved from hell.
Mm-hmm.
That's all it means.
Mm-hmm.
And obviously saved from your sinful nature or the sin that you have been living in.
Okay, so I'll just go ahead and read Romans 10, 9 and 10. It says, if you openly declare that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For it is by believing in your heart that you are made right with God, and it is by openly declaring your faith that you are saved.
Mm-hmm.
And saved, which is what you just explained.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Saved from hell.
Yes.
Okay. You want to go read the other ones, honey?
Yeah. So we'll just go ahead and read a couple more verses. Sorry if you can hear me breathing. I feel like it's echoing really bad, but man, when you're pregnant, you can't catch your breath.
Mm-hmm.
So I apologize for my loud breathing if you can hear it, if you're listening. Okay, so the next verse that I wanted to read is Ephesians 2, 8 and 9. It says, God saved you by his grace when you believed, and you can't take credit for this. It is a gift from God. Salvation is not a reward for the good things we have done, so none of us can boast about it. So this was another thing that I wanted to talk about, because I feel like a lot of times, like we said at the beginning, people will say that they are saved because they're doing good works. And the reason why Paul wrote this and why it's so significant is because clearly this was the mindset back in the day too, is people were doing things, especially like the Pharisees were following the Old Testament, and they thought that they were going to be saved because they were doing the law, right? They were following the law. And Jesus literally told them multiple times, you're denying me. You don't believe, like you're saying, like they literally put him on a cross and they said that he was blasphemy, you know, and that he wasn't really the Son of God. Well, okay, now you're denying him. Now you're missing the whole point, the whole point. So even Jesus says, like, you're going to come to me and say, like, well, we did this, we did this, we deserve this. Obviously, he's not going to not let someone do something good in Jesus's name, right? He's never going to. That's why, like, a lot of people get upset when they're like, I can't believe that I went to this church and this pastor did something bad. Why would God allow that? Well, the pastor was still preaching the word of God. He was still bringing people to know God. I'm sure there was a bunch of people that got saved, even though that he may have been an evil person deep down, like he's still going to let him do that good work.
Yeah.
Does that make sense?
That makes sense.
I'm trying to get this in the word so that it makes sense.
Yeah, it makes sense.
Because
essentially, God's not going to say like, you actually didn't do any good work at all. Like he's still going to be like, well, I acknowledge you did the good work, but that's not the reason why you're getting in.
Exactly. Because later on in the Bible, we see that Jesus says, or they come to him and they're like, well, we casted out demons in your name. We did this. We did that. We did miracles. We did all of this. And he's going to be like, well, okay, but you don't know me.
Mm-hmm.
You never accepted me.
Yeah.
So, I mean, that's great that you did all that stuff because you did it on behalf of me, right? And in my name, you casted out demons in my name. That's fantastic. You saved people.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you.
Yeah.
But you're missing the whole point of the gospel.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. So, this is why I believe God does not want you to boast about anything.
Mm-hmm.
The fall to mankind was pride,
mm-hmm.
coming from Adam. Okay. Paul writes in Romans chapter 3, also a little bit of a backstory. If y'all haven't read the book of Romans, Paul is writing to the city of Rome.
Mm-hmm.
Rome is primarily Jewish people.
Mm-hmm.
Like in the time that the book of Romans was written, it was like 90% Jewish people. So the statements that Paul was writing in this book are basically, what do I think the Jewish person would say about this? Mm-hmm. Okay. So let's pick up Romans chapter 3, let's start at verse 25. Romans chapter 3, starting at verse 25. God presented Christ as a sacrifice of atonement through the shedding of his blood to be received by faith. He did this to demonstrate his righteousness, because in his forbearance he had left the sins committed beforehand unpunished. He did it to demonstrate his righteousness at the present time, so as to be just and the one who justifies those who have faith in Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, Paul said that. So now Paul is thinking, me saying that, because that goes completely against Jewish religion.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so literally this is Paul saying, you're deemed righteous if you put your faith in Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
Nothing else. So now Paul thinks, what do I think that the Jewish person, that is so hard to say. I say it so much too. What do I think the Jewish person will say now after that? Well, Paul goes on to say, he goes on to question, where then is boasting? It is excluded because of what law? The law that requires works? No, because of the law that requires faith. For we maintain that a person is justified by faith apart from the works of the law, or is God the God of Jews only? Is he not the God of Gentiles too? Yes, of Gentiles too. Since there is only one God who will justify the circumcised by faith and the uncircumcised through that same faith, do we then nullify the law by this faith? Not at all. Rather, we uphold the law.
Mm-hmm.
So this literally goes completely against any church religion that says you have to get confirmed, you have to get baptized, you have to get...
you already said it. I was going to say confirmation.
Yeah, confirmation, baptized, you have to have good church attendance, mm-hmm. you have to read your Bible.
You have to go on mission trips.
Yeah, yeah. If you believe that, if you believe that that's what gets you into heaven, you don't believe this book.
Yeah.
Because Jesus and Paul is complete anti-works, mm-hmm. all right? And
well, anti-works to
yes.
gain salvation.
Yes.
We have to be very careful with yes. how we word this, because I know a lot of people are going to try to come at us and say, well, are we not supposed to do good things at all? Nope. You're missing the whole point of this conversation that we're having right now.
Yeah. No, you still please do not go rob a bank.
No. Yeah. But we can actually extend this conversation into explaining, you know, the fact that it doesn't abolish the law.
Mm-hmm.
And doing good works is still great,
mm-hmm.
but you want it to be led by the Spirit.
Correct.
So we've had this conversation before on here, I know, in one of our episodes, but a lot of people like to go on mission trips
mm-hmm.
and go out and serve the Lord in that way. And Asher and I, at our age and where we're at in life, have never felt led to go do that. And we're not going to, in a guilty way, go out and do that in order to earn God's love or just like seal our salvation, mm-hmm. you know? That's the wrong mindset to go into it. A lot of these people are going on these mission trips because they feel like the Lord called them to.
Yeah.
Or they have the opportunity to do it and they're like, why not? I love the Lord so much. I want to go serve him in this way.
And that's perfect. That's,
that is great.
Perfect.
But you want everything to be led by a Spirit. If man is telling you to do something, you're doing it for the wrong reasons.
Yeah.
Same as when we're going to get on this topic. This is going to open a can of worms, but I really don't care. This has to go along with giving, because there's a lot of churches that are like, give us all your money and then you're going to be blessed. You know, the prosperity gospel. And there is a verse, many verses. Paul specifically says it, that you're supposed to give to your heart's desire and what the Lord wants you to give.
Mm-hmm.
So all these people going around saying like, oh, tithe 10% every month, give him your first 10%. Great. That is a great place to start. But some months Asher and I go over that or under that a little bit. It's never the same 10%. Sometimes we might tithe in other ways. We might help people out. When we were in Houston, you gave people cash on the street multiple times when I was with you.
Yeah, I did.
For mm-hmm. whatever they needed.
Yeah.
Paid, so you can...
I paid for a guy's hotel.
Yeah. You can do it in so many other ways. Yeah. It doesn't have to do with, okay, send the church all your money, you know, and do this and do that. Like, it can be... Like, we gave you guys the books. Like, that was our way of helping you guys out.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that had nothing to do with our tithe to the church.
Yeah.
But that was a way that we were giving...
Giving, yeah.
...on behalf of the Lord, mm-hmm. you know? And... It all should be led by the Spirit. It should be things that you personally desire to do and that he puts on your heart to do, because mm-hmm. he will make it clear.
Yeah. Quick interruption before we get back to the show. Guys, we just want to let you know that our coaching services are live. So if you've been struggling with your fitness journey and you are looking to get in shape or maybe just struggle in that area, we are there to help you.
We offer personalized workout plans through a private app, constant communication with us, and also a personalized nutrition plan with recipes. There are over 1,000 to choose from on there. So if you have been struggling and want our help, please reach out to us or visit the website, which is betterthanbeforebrand.com, to see some testimonials and also fill out an application so that we can reach out to you and schedule a call.
Thank you, guys, and let's get back to the show. And I want to say one more thing. Sometimes he's going to say something that's a little extreme.
Yeah.
This past month, Michelle and I gave a lot of money. It's a little extreme.
It was really extreme.
I gave in a way that's like, you told me to do this. And here's the thing, though, is I wasn't like, you better return the favor. It was,
this is
your money anyway.
Yeah.
So if you want to give some back to me, it's whatever.
Yeah.
But,
yeah.
You know, you have to have so much faith to the point where, you know, God's never going to like just break off his hand like that.
Right.
That doesn't happen.
Yeah.
You know? Yeah. Now, what I will say is, you made a good point about this. Please don't let your pastor guilt trip you into giving more. Yeah. That's really stupid.
Yeah. We heard a story. When was it? A couple of nights ago. Oh, it was at our gender reveal party. Someone was telling us a story about how they went to church and the pastor literally stopped service after they had the giving and they literally counted the money. And they said, nope, not enough. We're not leaving until we reach our goal.
Yeah.
And it's like, whoa. Hold on.
Y'all got to dig deeper. Yeah. And it's like, whoa, man.
And he never went back to that church.
Nope, never did. Yeah. Thank God he didn't, too.
And we went to one where they were chanting about money. We never went back.
Oh, goodness. And there are people that come up to us in the gym that go to that church. Yeah. Immediately, we're like, because they try and...
We don't say anything bad,
but they try and pitch us some stuff about, you know, oh, well, if you join my group, you'll make this money. And we're like, fam, we don't need money.
It's all about finances. Like,
yeah, it's always about finances. Money's cool. Money's great.
Yeah.
But Michelle and I, we are very much like, the Lord's going to bless us regardless of what we do.
Yeah.
So we're cool. We don't want to work our butts off to make as much money as possible on earth. That's not what God has called anyone to do. I don't care who you are. God did not call you to make as much money as possible.
Yeah, no, he didn't. Yeah, and I'm really glad that you brought that up because the giving that we did recently was a really good example of faith because we were on our morning walk and you asked me how much and I said, I don't know. I gave him a range and he was like, okay. And then we sat and thought about it and then it was like a couple days later, I think. And you said, hey, I know that you said this much, but I feel like we should give this much. And it was hundreds of dollars more than what I had even given you.
Yeah.
And my response wasn't, I don't know, that's not a very good idea.
Yeah.
It wasn't, maybe we should talk about it. I said, okay.
Yeah.
And we did it.
Yeah.
And I sent the money the next day. And there was no argument. There wasn't any justification. And like, that was kind of scary, not going to lie, because we're about to get a house. Our rent's going to go through the roof compared to what we're paying right now. And we have baby stuff to buy.
Yeah.
You know?
Here's the thing, though, also. God is not obligated to give us more money than what we gave.
Correct.
He's not obligated to do that. I don't care what verse you nitpick out of here. You know, there's a lot of verses. Oh, well, the more you give, God's going to multiply.
That doesn't that mean money.
Nitpicking.
Yeah.
Okay? If you give money faithfully and earnestly, you're doing it because you don't have the love for money.
Mm-hmm.
That's the point God is trying to get to.
Yeah.
I don't know how we're on the tangent of money.
Yeah.
But
anyways, yes. I kind of want to go a little bit into my past because this is kind of where my heart is with this whole topic. If you've been listening for a while, then you probably know that I grew up in a Methodist church. And I'm not blaming the church. I'm not blaming anyone in the church. This was just what was taught to me without actually being taught to me. Because I don't think I ever heard that you put your faith in Jesus and you accept him in your heart. And if I did, I was completely blind.
I never heard that until I was 22 years old.
Yeah, I did not hear that. It was just... I just assumed I was saved, right? I was baptized as a baby and I grew up in a church that I went to my entire life.
Mm-hmm.
And I was super involved. I went to youth group. I went on mission trips. I went to country music festivals. I went to Christian music festivals. I just did all of these things. We served our community all the time. And I just assumed that is what saved me. So I went my entire life thinking that I was saved because I was doing all of these things. And in reality, I can tell you why I know I wasn't saved, because I had no convictions of the Holy Spirit and I could not feel it at all.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it's 1 John says that we should have and we should know that we are saved. What does it say?
I think I know the verse you're talking about.
Oh, here it is. Goodness gracious. Okay. So 1 John 5,
it verse wasn't 1 John 5.
13.
Gosh, dang it. That was literally, I stopped on 12. I literally stopped on, I literally skipped 12, or I skipped 13, went to verse 19. Dang it. Okay, yeah. Go ahead.
It says, I have written this to you who believe in the name of the Son of God so that you may know you have eternal life. So my pastor in Ohio really honed in on this and explained it in a way where it's like, we should have confidence that we're saved. Yeah. We shouldn't be questioning it.
Mm-hmm.
And that's how I know that I was living apart from God all that time. I was doing all of those things. I thought I was saved. I thought I was going to heaven. I believed in Jesus. I believed in God. But so do the enemies, yeah. Right? So does the devil. I just didn't fully accept him in my heart until October 10th of 21. And after that, I got convicted in an instant when I would do something wrong. And
my family member said the same thing when I asked them. She said that she got baptized. She was 8 years old. She's a little bit older. I said, dang, so you've been saved for that long? Her response was, well, I hope so.
Yeah.
I don't say that.
Yeah. Yeah.
I would say that. Yeah. None of our church friends say that either.
Yeah.
We can ask every single one of them when they got saved, mm-hmm. or at least the time frame.
Mm-hmm.
And they can say with bold confidence,
mm-hmm.
oh, I know exactly where I'm
now,
going.
Now, there's a lot of people that have, I don't want to say like slip. They haven't slipped away. I don't want to say that because that sounds bad.
Backsliding.
Yeah, but it's true, but I just don't like that term. I know people that have been following Jesus for a long time and they went through a period in their life where they like stepped back and like were sinning. I'm sure they were feeling convicted about it. But that's a part of their testimony and their journey with God. But for me, it was different. It was like, there was no change. There was no conviction. There was nothing different in me until that day. And that's why I'm so passionate about talking about people not fully putting their faith in Jesus and just saying that they're a Christian, that they're going to heaven because they have a cross on and they go to church on Easter and Christmas.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And it's sad, but a lot of people do think that those certain things are going to get them into heaven, but you haven't even put your faith in Jesus yet.
Yeah.
You know,
which it could potentially get you into heaven,
mm-hmm.
because God is just, he is a just God.
Absolutely. Yeah.
But the point that Michelle and I are really trying to drive home here is one, confidence about you knowing you're going to heaven,
mm-hmm.
and two, you're going to live so much of a better life here on earth.
Yeah.
Go one verse up before that, honey. Read that one to
12.
Me. Read that one to me.
Whoever has the Son has life. Whoever does not have God's Son does not have life.
There you go.
You are living in darkness.
Yes. Yes.
And there are some people that I've heard, I think they're being sarcastic, but I've heard it, like videos and stuff of people just being like, well, you know, I got my entire life. I'll do it one day, like in the future. And it's like, the things that you're missing out on, man.
Yeah, it doesn't make a whole lot of sense.
It's insane. Mm-hmm. Like I don't want to be that person on my deathbed who's like, well, now I know it's time for me to fully put my trust in him and actually go to heaven.
Yeah.
Which, like you said, God's just and it's never too late. The thief on the cross accepted Jesus right before he was about to get killed.
Mm-hmm.
And Jesus said, you're going to be with me in paradise.
Yeah.
So it's never too late to put your faith in Jesus and trust in him. But what we're trying to get at, like Asher said, is that you're missing out on a full life.
Earth first.
Yes, on earth. With not putting your faith in him.
Yeah.
Like the things that change, and I'm not sitting here saying like, you're never going to go through anything and life's going to be so easy. And like all of these things, like you just feel so fulfilled and you still go through things, but you know that it's not forever. Exactly. You know, uh-huh. Like those dark times are going to come to an end,
mm-hmm.
and he's going to make everything right. You know, so there's just so much hope there. But I personally am really bothered hearing people talk about getting saved and going to heaven just because of the things that they're doing. And I feel like more people just needed to talk about this topic, mm-hmm. because I feel like our society especially just has it all wrong. Like, we talked about this a couple episodes ago, but the amount of people that we're across that don't even know what it means. It's like, what are you doing?
Yeah.
Like, you don't even know, like, you think that that's a fashion piece and you don't actually understand the weight of what you're wearing. Mm-hmm. Like, watch A Passion of the Christ without crying.
Yeah.
Please. Like, I dare you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. My old barber has a really, really nice chain. Mm-hmm. Like, it's pure gold. And it's a cross with Jesus on it.
Mm-hmm.
And the first time I got cut by him, I was like, oh man, that's a really nice cross. Are you a believer?
Mm-hmm.
And he said, yeah, I am. And I said, oh wow, that's amazing. And then I tried to talk to him about it. And he said that he's Catholic. And I know a lot of people have different opinions about, like, are Catholics Christians or are they their own thing? Guys, there are a lot of Catholics that are saved.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yeah.
There are also a lot of Protestants that are not saved.
Yeah.
Okay. And there are also a lot of Orthodox that are saved.
Mm-hmm.
All right. So let's not distinguish, oh, they're not Christians because they're Catholic or Orthodox, they're not Christians either.
Yeah.
Guys, that's ridiculous.
We were talking about this the other day.
Yeah.
Just real quick, because it just depends on your flavor.
Yeah.
You know, like, we like non-denominational. We don't want to do all those traditions.
Yeah.
We want to hear a message, feel convicted, and leave.
Yeah.
Those people, they might like a Catholic service. Yeah. You know, everyone's different.
If you like a more traditional, you like to sing out of hymns, and you like the Eucharist, about the Eucharist being passed and stuff like that, you like taking communion every Sunday, that's great. Go to the Catholic Church. But I'm sorry, if you believe in the Bible and what it teaches,
mm-hmm.
the Bible doesn't say anything about going to the church or this church or that church.
Mm-hmm.
It warns you against false prophets. That's
mm-hmm.
it.
Mm-hmm.
All right. And I will say one more thing. I believe the false prophets they're talking about
are other religions.
Yes.
Yeah.
But that's a whole nother topic.
Yeah.
All right.
We won't go there today.
If y'all want to get theological with me in the comments or whatever, that's fine.
Yeah.
But, yes, that's all I have to say about that. Anyways, so back to my barber story. I said, oh, that's great. What church do you go to? He said, well, I'm Catholic. And I said, oh, that doesn't matter. I mean, what Catholic church do you go to? He said, oh, I don't really go. And I said, okay, well, what do you do then? And he was like, well, I still know God. I pray to him. And I was like, oh, okay, so are you looking for a church? He's like, no, I just don't like going. And it kind of caught me off guard
mm-hmm.
because I was like, it feels like you desire to go if you're a believer in Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
And here's the thing is, yeah, he believed in Jesus, but he just wasn't following Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
Because then the second after, we turned on the TV, he turned on his Spotify playlist, and it was straight up rap, drugs, alcohol, strippers,
mm-hmm.
stuff like that. And I was like, this is not the fruit that is being produced by the Spirit. So now here's the thing. In that moment, I was like, oh, wow, this guy's not going to heaven. That's not my point.
Mm-hmm.
That's not my point.
But you can tell
someone
by their fruit.
Yeah. But here's what I will say is, he probably has an idea
mm-hmm.
that because he believes in Jesus and he was raised up in the Catholic Church
mm-hmm.
that he's going to heaven.
Mm-hmm.
He probably has that idea.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I don't get cut by him anymore, but I would place seeds in him here and there.
Mm-hmm.
I've talked about Romans 10:9 a couple times.
Mm-hmm.
I've talked about John 3:16, even though everyone's heard that verse.
Mm-hmm.
But again, John 3:16, just because you know the verse doesn't mean you actually know the verse.
Right.
It has a lot of depth to it.
Yeah, it does.
It has a lot. Like, you can talk about that verse for 3.5 hours.
Yeah.
And barely scratch the surface.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. You know, we've talked about my story, what I was struggling with. Like, mm-hmm. I've planted a lot of seeds, so who knows? He actually got transferred to my new barber, so we're actually in the same vicinity. I told you about that.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah, I get cut by one of our church friends now,
mm-hmm.
and he got transferred.
Mm.
And Julian, my barber, he's saved.
Yeah.
So him and I always have conversations, yeah. and he always hears it.
Yeah.
So who knows? Maybe, you know, maybe something will happen in the future. I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't know how why I said that, but.
Well,
I don't know how
that people think that they're saved because of certain things. Oh, we started talking about sure. a cross.
Yeah.
But yeah, it just really saddens my heart just to see, especially our generation.
Yeah.
Just thinking that they're saved. I mean, we listen to JP's podcast. We talk about him all the time. Becoming Something. Love them. And he asked the people on his podcast that work at his church. He said, how many people in this church do you think are actually saved?
Yeah.
And they said a really high number.
They said like 90%.
Yeah, it was like most of them. And what'd he say? Like, no, in actuality, it's probably like 30.
It's probably like 30.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And that's the truth, you know? And that's, but it's okay.
Yeah.
Because they're going to find truth.
Yeah.
You know, like so many people are like, well, I don't like this going to this church because this person and this person did this, and you know, that's like you going into a gym and seeing an overweight person and saying, I don't want to come here anymore, or going into a hospital to get well and you see other sick people and you're like, wait, I thought this was going to make me well, like I thought this was going to make me healthy. I don't want to be here with a bunch of sick people.
Yeah,
it's like that's what a church is, you know. We're all broken and we're all going there to find hope and faith in Jesus, you know, like those people are going there to get that. Mm-hmm. And that's great. But don't go into a church assuming that everyone's saved.
Yeah.
But like Asher said, like you can tell if someone's saved by their fruit. Mm-hmm. And I tell girls this all the time with the guys they're dating, because they're like, well, I feel like he was sent by God. And then he's not showing any fruit at all. I'm like, girl, no. You like him and you want it to work. But he's not showing any fruit at all.
Yeah.
That he's a follower.
Yeah,
that's a whole nother topic.
I know. I just wish people were more honest.
Yeah.
Like, homegirl, a guy gets sent into your life. You like his muscles. You like the way he looks. Mm-hmm. He may go to church, but he doesn't have any fruit.
Mm-hmm.
And then you justify it by saying he was sent by God. No, fam. You just like the way he looks.
Yeah.
And you just want someone to support you on it. Why can't you just...
And you don't want to be alone.
Yeah.
And that's okay.
Yeah, why can't you just admit that to yourself? And that's going to free you up so much.
You know, Asher asked me today if I liked being single when I was single, like before we got together.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, before I gave my life to Jesus, yeah. After I gave my life to Jesus, no.
Yeah.
It's okay to want a relationship. It's okay to desire it and to pray for it. But stop justifying relationships that you're in because of that reason. Just be honest.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. That guy that's trying to lead you into sex before marriage, that wasn't sent by God, homegirl. No. I'll be honest. Like, yeah. please, yeah. Like, as believers in Jesus and followers of Jesus, please stop saying that.
Yeah.
That is one of the most ridiculous things I think I've heard being on the internet.
Yeah.
Hey, this guy wants to have sex with me before marriage. Also, he was sent by God. What?
Yeah.
Like, God doesn't bring you sin, people.
Yeah. Like, yeah.
I don't know. Sorry. I'm not trying to, like, you know, call... Actually, no, I am trying to call people out because that's really stupid.
Yeah.
Like, speak it out loud, people. That doesn't make sense.
Yeah.
That's like me saying Jesus came to die for Christians.
Yeah.
No, repeatedly in the Bible it says Jesus died for everyone.
Yeah.
Like, come on. Yeah. Don't twist scripture at all.
Yeah.
Let's be real here.
Yeah. Yeah.
I think, did we say everything we wanted to say?
I think so. Yeah, I mean, you mentioned it. Another verse is John 3:16, but I feel like everyone knows that verse. But you put your faith in him and you believe in him and then you have eternal life.
Yeah.
So.
Actually, hold on. I want to say one more thing because it feels like I need to say this real quick.
Sure.
Because I was talking about Romans chapter 3, and I felt like I maybe should have brought it up, but maybe not. A lot of people have questions about the Old Testament if they got into heaven, because Jesus wasn't around yet in the Old Testament.
Mm-hmm.
And people think that people get into heaven because they follow the law in the Old Testament.
Mm-hmm.
Guys, that's incorrect.
Mm-hmm.
People in the Old Testament got into heaven because of their faith in God.
Mm-hmm.
And I can literally prove it to you.
Are you going to say Abraham? Okay.
Yes.
Yeah.
I'm going to literally prove it to you.
Yeah.
So if I'm talking, if anyone tries to tell you that.
So this just proves again that following the law doesn't get you into heaven.
Yes.
Because this still wasn't a thing even in the Old Testament.
Yes. This proves that anything, I mean anything, baptism, church attendance, confirmation, mission trips, yeah. none of that will get you into heaven.
Yeah.
I'm about to read it to you. Genesis chapter 15, starting at verse 6. Abraham believed the Lord, and he credited it to him as righteousness. Mm-hmm. So how, sorry, this is Abram. My bad. Abram believed the Lord, and he credited to him as righteousness. What does this mean? Because that probably may confuse people. Abram believed in God with all of his heart, soul, and mind, and he was deemed righteous. Mm-hmm. That's what that verse is saying.
Yes.
By God. Okay. That was before the law. So, in, when is it? Anywho, that was in Genesis chapter 15. In Genesis chapter 17, Abraham was now given the covenant or the law. Mm-hmm. This is literally 4 years after Abram was deemed righteous with God. Mm-hmm. So it makes no sense. And hold on. One more thing. Y'all may be wondering what law. Abraham was given the law of circumcision. Mm-hmm. Okay? Mm-hmm. It's a Jewish tradition. Go look it up if you want to.
Modern day baptism.
Yes. Translation. Modern day baptism, religious ceremony, mm-hmm. christening in mm-hmm. the Catholic Church. Mm-hmm. What's another one that Protestants do? Where you bring the baby up and they mention them or whatever. Basically saying like, this baby will be raised in a Christian household.
No, that's just dedication.
Dedication, yes.
They don't think that that saves them.
I'm just naming off like religious things that people will do. I know that that doesn't save them, but I'm just saying like modern day things that people do. Mm-hmm. Some people may think that though, mm-hmm. honey. Mm-hmm. The pastor probably doesn't think that, but mm-hmm. other people may. I'm saying modern day baptism, religious ceremonies, whatever. That is in translation what Abraham was given mm-hmm. with the law of circumcision. So he was given this law 4 years after he was deemed righteous. Mm-hmm. So for someone to say that you have to do XYZ in order to be deemed righteous as God literally goes against the Old Testament too. Mm-hmm. All right? Because Abram proves that. Mm-hmm. So if anyone tries to tell you, you need to get baptized, you need to do this in order to get to heaven, I'm sorry. That doesn't happen. The Old Testament literally fulfills the New Testament. The mm-hmm. Old Testament doesn't contradict the New Testament. Mm-hmm. And I know there are verses, you need to get baptized to get saved, or you need to do this. We'll have to have that for another day.
Yeah, yeah.
Because yeah, our time is running out.
Yeah.
But.
No. Yeah, that's a whole other topic. But it does kind of go hand in hand. You know, a lot of people will think like, oh, I was raised in the church, or I...
Actually,
there's a lot of people that say that they left Christianity. They say, I left Christianity. And then you ask them, oh, okay, yeah. So, like, were you saved?
Yeah.
Well, I was raised in a church.
Yeah.
Nah, fam, that doesn't mean you're saved.
Yeah, there's this one girl, and always on live, ex-Christian, come chat.
Yeah.
I'll go in there a couple times, and then I wanted to ask, I'm like, okay, so when did you lose your salvation? Her response was, what is that?
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. So.
And you can, I mean, you can and say.
You can say your next.
Well, no, you can say that prayer.
Yeah.
My pastor used to call it the magical mystery Jesus prayer. You can say that prayer and not mean it.
Yeah.
I did that many times.
Oh, sure.
Oh, boy, did I do that many times.
Sure.
If any of you have been a Christian for a long time and went to ICTHUS, they do a call for everyone to go to this huge wooden cross and give your lives to Jesus. The amount of times I went over there sobbing on the floor in front of this cross, it's emotional. Everyone around you's doing it. It all feels good in the moment. I wasn't saved.
Yeah.
I left there and I was in it for the social aspect.
Sure.
I loved being around my youth group friends.
Trying to find your husband.
No, I wasn't.
trying to get down and dirty.
No, actually, I didn't want a relationship at all. The one in high school, well, I did like being a girlfriend, but back in the day, it wasn't like a thing, like a, you know. Anyways.
Mama's being weird, guys. Mama's being weird.
Anyways, back on topic. You can say that prayer and not mean it. Mm-hmm. You can get baptized and not actually have accepted Jesus in your heart. Like, there's many things that can happen.
Mm-hmm.
You and God know your relationship with each other, right? He knows that I've given my life to him, and he knows where I stand with him.
Mm-hmm.
Same with you. He knows where you stand with him, and he knows when you gave your life to him.
Mm-hmm.
You have a personal relationship with him. And it is not our place or anyone's place to look at someone and say, you're not going to heaven because you're doing this. But I will say, I'm going to look at someone and say, they also won't be going to heaven just because they're doing this.
Mm-hmm.
So I won't tell you whether or not you're actually going to go to heaven. But if you're going to have an argument with me and you're going to say, well, they're a good person and they've never done anything bad, I'm going to tell you right now that that's not what's going to send them to heaven.
Yeah.
Like, I'm going to correct you on that. I'm not going to tell you that they're not going to go to heaven. I'm saying that the reasons you're giving me for them going to heaven are incorrect.
Yeah.
And that's all we're trying to say. So we're not judging anyone's salvation. But if you come up to us and have a conversation with us, or if we hang out with you, same with anyone. If you hang out with people, you're going to be able to tell their fruit and whether or not they truly have a relationship with Jesus. So it's really easy to tell. But yeah, that's all we got today. You have anything else, honey?
Here's the principle, guys. I like giving principles.
Here we go.
Here's the principle for this episode. Relationship causes religion. Religion does not cause relationship. You cannot have a religion without a relationship with Jesus. You cannot have a relationship with Jesus with just religion. Michelle and I are religious about our date nights every single Thursday.
Mm-hmm.
We would not, our relationship would not be a thing if it was built on our date nights.
Correct. We have our date nights.
We have our date nights because of our relationship.
Correct.
See y'all next Wednesday.
No, that Peace. Was so, wait.
I wanted to make it cool, okay, guys.
Sorry. Well, real quick, I wanted to bring up the James verse.
Okay, sure.
Because James says that, does this mean that you abolish the law and that it doesn't matter? Absolutely not. Faith without works is dead.
Mm-hmm.
So he's not saying that you have faith because of your works. He's saying that you can't have faith and not produce work.
Yeah.
That's what it does. That's what your relationship with Jesus does,
mm-hmm.
is it produces work in you.
And that's what the relationship with Michelle and I does. Mm-hmm. We have a great relationship. So what do we want to do? We want to work for each other.
Yeah.
That's why marriage is so cool, because it literally is a demonstration of God's love for you.
Yeah, it is. And same thing with kids. Yeah. I mean, she's moving right now. She knows I'm talking about her. She's not even out in the world yet, and I already would literally take a bullet for this little girl.
And she's spoiled.
Already, yeah. But see, my love for her and my connection with her is already producing work in me.
Yeah.
So that was my point of that. But anyways, yeah, that was really, really good. Quote Asher Arwine.
Yeah. All right. See y'all next Wednesday.